This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Radio talk show host Rush Limbaugh may have violated state money laundering laws in the way he handled the money he used to buy the prescription drugs to which he was addicted, according to law enforcement officials in Florida and New York. Officials say they became aware 2 years ago that Limbaugh had taken between 30 and 40 cash withdrawals from his account in amounts just under $10,000. Banks must file a report to the government if someone withdraws more than $10,000 at once. A conviction on such charges in Florida would be a first-degree felony, punishable by up to 30 years in prison. In a tactic reminiscent of Israeli crackdowns in the West Bank and Gaza, the U.S. military has begun destroying the homes of suspected guerrilla fighters in Iraq's Sunni Triangle, evacuating women and children, then leveling their houses with heavy weaponry. At least 15 homes have been destroyed in Tikrit, including four leveled Sunday by tanks and Apache helicopters that allegedly belonged to suspects in the November 7th downing of a Black Hawk helicopter that killed six Americans. Family members at one of the houses in the village of Hawaita said they were given 5 minutes to evacuate before soldiers opened fire. Yesterday, angry residents of Al-Hawaita said the tactic will spawn more guerrilla fighters and perhaps spark an Iraqi uprising similar to the Palestinian Intifada in the West Bank and Gaza. Support for Washington's handling of Iraq since George W. Bush declared an end to combat there on May 1st has plummeted, falling to 42% from 80% in an April 23rd poll. 55% of those polled disapproved of how the U.S. has handled post-war Iraq, the highest negative response since U.S. tanks entered Baghdad in April. 56% of respondents believed the war was worth it, while only 48% believed it made the United States safer, and 43% felt the war had actually made the United States less safe from terrorists, up from 33% in the April poll. More news after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C.
John Hirsch went toe-to-toe with a black bear and won. Hirsch had only a 3.5-inch knife blade when he came across the bear in his backyard about 190 miles northeast of Vancouver. The bear swatted out at him, but each time it lunged, Hirsch managed to stab it. Three stabs to the bear's chest and one to its neck finally did the Bruin in. The bear stood about 5'7" to Hirsch's 5'9". "I can sure say it looked smaller the next morning than it did during the fight," said Hirsch. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, Sneezy, go to sleep.
I can't.
You could if you take NyQuil. It'll help your symptoms. So you'll sleep great. You know, like you do when you cuddle on the couch with a warm fleece blanket, a cozy fire, and a chick flick.
Now that's my kind of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved Liquicaps.
Some days, I don't know whether to laugh, cry, or go in for a brain scan. That's how I felt when I read about the jaw-dropping corporate chutzpah of an outfit named Neighbor Industries, physically located in Houston. I say physically because Neighbors is one of those notorious corporate abdicators that have legally uprooted themselves from America and formally reincorporated in the tax havens of Bermuda and Barbados. Thanks to a slick loophole slipped into our country's bizarre tax laws, Neighbors, Inc. can simply maintain a mail drop and a legal letterhead in these offshore islands and, hocus pocus, escape paying U.S. taxes, since technically it's no longer an American corporation. Last year alone, this Bermuda shell game allowed Neighbors to dodge $10 million in taxes owed to the red, white, and blue. But now, this fair-weather patriot suddenly wants Uncle Sam to treat it like an American corporation. Not for tax purposes, of course, but for the purpose of getting some shipbuilding business that is reserved by law for U.S. companies. Neighbors wants to have its cake in America, but eat it in Bermuda. A family-owned shipping firm in Louisiana that has to compete with Neighbors calls it, quote, grossly unfair that we pay taxes for certain services and this big corporation goes foreign and they get the benefit of the same services without paying for them. Yet, Neighbors has a hotshot, high-dollar Washington lobbyist trying to ram through a behind-the-scenes law that would let it both abandon America and take American business from taxpaying American companies. The lobbyist even is disdainful and insulting to the taxpaying companies that oppose Neighbors' power play, saying, those are the guys we like to call the whiners. This is Jim Hightower saying, well, the lobbyists and executives of Neighbors Industries are guys I like to call treasonous greedheads.
Get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
Here's Nancy in the background. Nancy.
Oh,
Nancy.
Am I on the air? Oh.
Hello.
Hello.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy. On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing water, life's life.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Well, good evening, truth seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us tonight. Boy, the world is going crazy, isn't it? Program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces the phone number here. If you would like to express your outrage, your rage against the machine, the phone number is 800-TALK-YES, 800-825-5937. Or you may email MikeDMalloy@earthlink.net. We have some sound here of the pig man, Rush Limbaugh, explaining the money laundering charges against him, or the rumors, not charges yet, but just the debate now in Florida and New York, whether he's going to be charged with money laundering. Isn't it getting bizarre? So he explains money laundering charges against him, kind of. We'll have the sound for you, even though he can't really talk about it. Poor Rush. So many criminal investigations he's not allowed to discuss. Makes you almost bleed, right? And as promised, we have audio of Bush in Britain. You got to hear his plans to either retrain or retain evil in the world. I'm not sure. Neither is Kathy. We just record this stuff and play it. But it is priceless to hear Bush addressing people in the English-speaking world, speaking something other than English, something that sounds like English. They're English words, but they're strung together in a way that defy gravity. So stick around for that. And then, of course, the other thing that has just, I mean, it's taken over like a huge what? Sucking wound, all right? A huge amoeba, a huge sponge that's sucking up all the oxygen and the light. And that, of course, is the Michael Jackson story. Even CNN's favorite retired U-boat commander, Wolf Blitzer, was talking about it today. Wolf didn't know whether to go with Michael Jackson's story or the Rush Limbaugh money laundering story. Because that's what news reporting in this country is really about. For Christ's sake, it has nothing to do with reporting news. It has to do with these kinds of stories. whether it's the Lacey Peterson murder trial or O.J. Simpson or Kobe Bryant or Michael Jackson. That's what it's about. That's what it means to be an American today, to be focused on these sorts of stories. The atrocities being committed in Iraq. Ah, please spare me. I've heard it already. I don't want to hear it anymore. All right. It's been going on for months. Give me some Jackson. Give me some Kobe Bryant. Oy, right? We are to the point almost with the Iraqis in certain parts of that country as the Israelis are with the Palestinians. We're almost there. We are now demolishing houses. We have road checks. Pretty soon there will be an Iraqi intifada if one has not already begun. But that's not, that, I, you know, I mean, who cares? Yawn, there's a debate Monday night that'll be conducted by NBC of the Democratic presidential hopefuls. But it's going to be blown off the telescreens because Monday is when Jacko is supposed to turn himself into authorities. I couldn't help but notice that Hardball tonight was with Chris Matthews, 100% Michael Jackson. And my favorite newscast, Keith Olbermann on MSNBC, 100% Michael Jackson. And you could tell that Keith was not liking what his executive producers were making him do, but he did it anyway. And I understand that the programs following on MSNBC and probably on CNN are likewise Michael Jackson. It's I don't know. Is there another galaxy we can go to and take a break? It's now lost in all of this, of course, is the Limbaugh the Limbaugh story. Oh, what the hell? Give in to it, right? The Limbaugh story, and we shall get to that in a moment. However, Michael sent me an email, and the subject line is "How's this for irony?" And he sent me a quote. Here's the quote. Here's part of the quote. When the President of the United States cannot travel abroad or to any major city at home without fear of a hostile demonstration, then it's time for new leadership for the United States of America. Now, the person who said that, of course, was Richard Nixon. During his nomination speech at the 1968 Republican Convention, who was he referring to? Well, of course, Lyndon Johnson. Now, it's part of a larger quote. Here is the larger quote, also from Michael, and thank you, Michael. This is Richard M. Nixon. "We have not journeyed all this way across the centuries, across the oceans, across the mountains, across the prairies, because we're made of sugar candy." This sounds like Nixon, doesn't it? "America's in trouble today, not because her people have failed, but because her leaders have failed. And this great group of Americans know that the great question Americans must answer by their votes in November is this: whether we will continue for 4 more years the policies of the last 4. And this is their answer, and this is my answer to that question. When the strongest nation in the world can be tied up in a war with no end in sight, when the richest nation in the world can't manage its own economy, when the President of the United States cannot travel abroad or to any major city at home without fear of a hostile demonstration, then it's time for new leadership for the United States of America." That was Nixon at the 1968 Republican nomination acceptance speech. Well, Dick, I'll tell you what. You know, when I took Latin, anytime I had a question that my Latin teacher, Miss Schaff, couldn't answer, she'd say, "Well, let's dig up a Roman and ask him." I would like to dig up Dick Nixon. You know, I have a feeling if he were was buried in one of those blue wool suits he was so famous for, his body is probably all decayed and turned back into dust by now, but the blue suit is probably still intact. Wouldn't you imagine? Anyway, I'd like to dig up Dick Nixon at this point and say, "Dick, would you say that your speech accepting the Republican nomination in 1968 at the convention holds even today?"
"Well, I'll tell you, Mike. It's my honest feeling. The George W. You know, he never liked me. That family never liked me. The Bushes never liked me at all. And I've never known why. I am not a crook. They are crooks. I'm not a crook.
But don't you suppose that Nixon, there's something weird, otherworldly about Nixon, wasn't there? I never had the feeling that he was really, and I mean this, from this planet or this dimension. Oh, I know the rumors. He grew up in Southern California. Where was it? Whittier. And he was a Quaker and all this, and his dear sainted mother, and yada, 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 yada. But who do you know who, when they go for a walk on the beach, does it in a coat and tie and wingtips, huh? Unless you don't understand the concept of beach. Now, if you don't understand the concept of beach, then you are not from this planet. But there was something weirdly intriguing about Dick Nixon. When Michael sent me this quote, it suddenly occurred to me what it was all those years ago. Dick Nixon is not an earthling. He could see into the future. He could see what the Bush family was going to do. And his pronouncement, his statement at his acceptance speech in 1968 is now just excruciatingly valid.
Well, Mike, I'm glad you said that. Because I know, especially you people in media, you never liked me. You never cared about what... You never cared for me. I know that. And I said it back in 1960. When was it? 1960. You wouldn't have Dick Nixon to kick around anymore. See, I'm dead now. It's hard to remember. It was after I went back to California and was defeated to be the governor. And I knew Ronald Reagan. I knew he was going to make an attempt. And he was another one that didn't like me. They never liked me. None of these people ever liked me. But I'm dead now. And you're not. And you people are all stuck with George Bush. All right, I have to go now.
Creepy, creepy man. The streets of what was once Saigon were again teeming with American sailors today following the arrival of the first U.S. Navy ship since the Vietnam War. You ever heard about this? The crew of the USS Vandegrift, a frigate, many of them sons and daughters of Vietnam veterans, made a port call in Ho Chi Minh City, formerly Saigon, during a symbolic visit aimed at boosting bilateral relations between the two countries. Now, I want you to remember, those of you who are over a certain age, the demonstrations in this country against the murderous attack of the United States against Vietnam. I want you to remember the lies told by the Johnson administration, the Nixon administration, McNamara, Westmoreland, McGeorge Bundy, all these people. You have to be over a certain age to remember this. I'm sorry for you younger people. You can, talk among yourselves while us oldies talk about this. The domino theory. The demonstrators who went into the streets, first the kids, the students, the hippies, and finally the school teachers and the professors and the ministers and what was quaintly called back then the housewives and eventually the hard hats to put an end to it. And there's a wall in Washington, D.C. with 58,000 American names. There's no wall in Vietnam with 2.5 million names of the Vietnamese that we butchered. But today, the streets of what used to be Saigon were chock-a-block with American sailors who were there for R&R, for a port call, for a visit, and they were welcomed.
Yeah. Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want some smell or rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you take a feeling spotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Get the good stuff.
Right now would be a good time to come to Napa Auto Parts, because you can get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate. Remember, nothing lights up the road like halogen. And like everything Napa sells, our halogen headlights are manufactured to the highest industry standards. This is the good stuff. So come into Napa and get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate.
Get the good stuff.
Napa, get the good stuff.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
Bruce Willis was in Iraq. Did you hear about this? He went to Telefar, I believe is the way you pronounce it. And he has a band, Accelerator, played some rock and roll, and, you know, there were hundreds of U.S. soldiers there. Anyway, after he did his rock and roll, he took the microphone. He said, we're here to support you, and that's fine, okay. But then he offered the soldiers listening $1 million out of his own pocket for the capture of Saddam Hussein. And then he said, and if you catch him, just give me 4 seconds with him. Isn't he just a man's man, huh?
Who are you, then? Just another American who thinks he's John Wayne, Rambo.
He's always kind of partial to Roy Rogers, actually.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday, from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
Free radio, only with Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. So there it was today in Ho Chi Minh City, formerly Saigon. The 200 man and woman crew of the USS Frigate, or the United States Frigate USS Vandegrift, for some R&R in Ho Chi Minh City. The U.S. ambassador to Vietnam, Raymond Burkhart, said, quote, I think one of the messages here today is that the U.S. and Vietnam are showing the world that former foes can become friends. Mr. Burkhart was on hand for the welcoming ceremony at Saigon Port. And American commanders, one assumes from the vessel, later attended a ceremony. Sit down before I finish this. Are you sitting? Especially if you served in Vietnam. You sitting? I'm serious. Okay. American commanders later attended a ceremony honoring Vietnamese leader Ho Chi Minh. American commanders attended a ceremony honoring Vietnamese communist leader Ho Chi Minh. Now, why do I say sit down? Well, frankly, I was totally against the Vietnam War. It was a war of internal war of revolution after the French got beaten up pretty severely. As you know, at the end of World War II, the idea of European dominance and imperialism was coming apart at the seams. And Vietnam was one of those countries trying to reclaim its statehood, its country, its territory, its society. And they spent World War II slaughtering the Japanese. They spent prior to World War II slaughtering the Chinese, and then the French, and then the Americans. But here we are. You know, I think about the people who served, who were sent to Vietnam to kill and die. I think about almost 3 million Vietnamese slaughtered, 58,000 Americans dead. For what? For nothing. For not a damn filthy freaking thing. Nothing. Nothing. And 35 years ago, hippy-dippy freaks like me were in the streets of Richmond, Virginia, and Savannah, Georgia, and Jacksonville, Florida, and Washington, D.C., with thousands of other hippy-dippy freaks saying we had no business being there. American commanders today attended a ceremony in Saigon, in Ho Chi Minh City, honoring Vietnamese leader Ho Chi Minh. The ties between the two countries have been steadily expanding since diplomatic relations were established in 1995. Trade has risen to more than $3 billion annually with the passage of a landmark agreement in 2001. And Vietnam recently said it sends more goods to the United States than anywhere else. See, I want to scream right now. I do. And I can't because my mouth has still got about 40 stitches in it. And I've got a sore throat. But I just want to scream. I want to beat somebody bloody. I don't know who do I want to get. Is William Westmoreland still alive? I'd like to beat him to death. Is that the old man, Robert McNamara? Yeah, he's still alive. There's no honor, there's no glory in beating these people up. I'd like to confront some of the people that confronted me 35 years ago and called me a son of a bitch and filthy communist. Why don't I leave this country if I loved the Vietnamese slopes, gooks and dinks so much? I'd like to see those people now and say, do you understand now why we protested? Do you, 58,000 dead Americans, do you understand now?
My captain said it should kill, kill, kill for peace. Kill, kill, kill for peace. Kill, it will give you the mental ease. Kill, it will give you a big release. Kill, kill, kill for peace. Kill, kill, kill for peace.
Thieves in high places, they've stolen our country and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
nature's recovery from the extinction of species is simply a matter of time. A long, long time. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Mass extinctions have wiped out most of the world's plant and animal species at least 5 times in Earth history. Scientists have used fossils and other evidence to figure out what life forms perished in these natural disasters, but Duke University paleontologist Ann Weil is more interested in the survivors. Weil has been poring over an enormous database that contains the Earth's known fossil record. She and her colleagues have been able to graph not only extinctions of species throughout history, but the births of new species as well, what are called origination and diversification events. The scientists have found an interesting pattern, and it holds true for extinction events on any scale, from the local to the global. In every case, origination and diversification lagged behind extinction by 10 million years.
So instead of looking at each individual extinction event, what we did was we tried to match these two curves. One for just a count or percentages of extinctions, and the other for counts or percentages of originations. And we found that those originations were lagging the extinction statistics by 10 million years.
Weil says this 10-million-year period can be seen as the time that nature needs to recover from the loss of species. And she says the kind of ecosystem doesn't seem to alter the pattern. They all take about the same amount of time to heal after a disaster, no matter what kinds of ecological niches are left unfilled by extinctions. Weil says these findings have implications for conservation efforts today. Most experts agree that the world is in the midst of an extinction crisis right now, possibly losing one species per hour. The fossil record shows that nature will take millions of years to recover. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have 2 chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals. And you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Perhaps the most important lesson that I learned in Vietnam is that you cannot confront a guerrilla war with conventional forces.
Well, you might have learned that you actually have to be there, you creepy freak, in order to fight a war with or without conventional weapons. But never mind. That, you know, Bush is a psychopathic liar, so we only play that for comedic relief. But here we are. Trade between the two countries, between Vietnam and the United States, is now over $3 billion annually, and we have become Vietnam's major trading partner. I know a lot of people are going to say, well, Mike, what about Germany and Japan? Well, if you're thinking that, I don't even want to go near your thought processes because they are spiderwebby and weird to begin with. Vietnam defeated the United States. We were beaten. Now, you can say, well, we could have glassed them. We could have dropped an H-bomb. No, we couldn't have. Because if we could have, we would have. The only time, other than World War II, that we could use nuclear weapons would be now, with these crazy people in control of this country and George Bush in the Oval Office. But we were defeated in Vietnam. Those images from 1975, oh, by the way, it was also the longest war the United States had, a foreign war. Was it long? Yeah, no, war, period. The longest war the United States had ever been involved in. And yes, it was undeclared, and yes, and yes, and yes, and yes. But those images from 1975, of people that we were deserting, hanging from the skids of those helicopters taking off from the roof of the American Embassy in downtown Saigon, now Ho Chi Minh City. Shameful, shameful, shameful images. The entire war, the slaughter of 58,000 Americans, the slaughter of 3 million Vietnamese. This is a chapter in American history that is just vile. I don't know. And we're doing it again. See, we're doing it again in Iraq. We are doing it again. And again, the reasons are total lies. Every single thing about our attack against Iraq was a lie, just like Vietnam. Here we are again. The problem is, so many of the people who understand our history in Vietnam are my age, and we're tired. We are. We're just tired. Christ, we've been going through this since Kennedy was offed 40 years ago, and we're tired. And the generation coming up behind us, for the most part, I'm not dissing all of you teenagers and 20-somethings, but for the most part, that generation doesn't care. It never happened. Vietnam, Jesus, wasn't that something in the last century? And the only reason I bring it up is because an American naval vessel arrives in Saigon port, and the soldiers go ashore, and AOL had a picture of a sailor from the USS Vandegrift walking with two Vietnamese soldiers in the port city. The commander of the boat, Richard Rogers, said there was so much excitement leading up to the visit that many crew members were up before reveille. Commander Rogers said, quote, the river transit today was fantastic. I think my crew genuinely enjoyed coming up the river and seeing the sights. That would be the Perfume River? The Pearl Perfume River? The river that winds its way through Saigon, the river that contained the blood and guts and arms and legs and heads and torsos of Christ or Buddha or someone only knows how many Americans and how many Vietnamese. My crew enjoyed the sights coming up the river. For those of us who were not in Vietnam in the 60s, we had enough visual interpretations of that war. We knew, didn't we, that wartime Saigon was also a city that was synonymous with, shall we call it, a vibrant nightlife. AGI! Me, what's that line from Full Metal Jacket? You can't say it? Me love you long time.
Me love you long time, sailor.
Yeah, there was more to it than that. Vibrant nightlife. The vibrant nightlife had to do with the humiliation of the civilian population of Saigon. You know, when you bring in 500,000 soldiers from any country, the girls, the women, for the most part, some of the boys are obviously going to be sexually violated. Then you've got the question of the Amerasians, you know, the illegitimate children. It was just unbelievable. Unbelievable. But in the 60s, according to the depictions that most of us saw, the drinking and the carousing, U.S. soldiers, other foreigners going to the bars downtown near the port. So what about today? Well, the nightlife is still there, even though it's the commies. Navy officials have said sailors on this visit must be back on the ship or in their hotel rooms by midnight. A Navy special agent who handles criminal and security issues and keeps an eye on the sailors from this boat in foreign ports says, I think they will behave themselves, but we don't want them to be so careful that nobody has any fun. Now, with all due respect to Vietnam veterans who are possibly listening to this program right now, and you left part of your mind in that country, or you left part of your body in that country, I wonder what Max Cleland thinks. But as you realize that the United States Navy and the two governments now are slap-happy butt buddies, don't you feel like a fool? Don't you feel like a fool? This is what your government, Democratic and Republican, two administrations did to you. These lying sons of bitches sent an entire generation of young American males into a tailspin. They disrupted the society. They sent half a million of us, actually a million and a half of us, off to kill or be killed in a foreign country that we had no business even being near, even mentioning the name. And here we're doing it again. But to the people who served in Nam, who now, I'm talking about the combat veterans, you people who are sucking up booze and sucking up any drug you can get your hand on to stifle the pain, whether it's emotional pain or physical pain, how do you feel now? I shudder to think. If I were a Vietnam combat veteran at this point, I've said this about several different scenarios, if I were this or if I were that, but I swear to God, I would probably get my hands on an automatic weapon and start pulling that trigger until there was nothing left to come out of it. I would feel so enraged, so betrayed. Now, it's bad enough when 5 years ago, Colin Powell, or 4 years ago, whenever it was, no, it wasn't that long ago at all. It was during the Bush administration. Colin Powell and other American government officials were in Hanoi, along with Japanese trade officials, and they had skit night. Remember we talked about this, Kathy? They had skit night in Hanoi. And rolling around on the stage, on his butt and his belly and the costume was Colin Powell, Secretary of State. And during the Vietnam War, a murderous killer who did everything in his power to cover up the atrocities that were being committed by our guys against civilians. I mean, the whole thing it's disgusting. I don't know why I brought it up. Screw it. I don't care. To hell with it. To hell with it. Okay. Brian is calling from Manchester, New Hampshire. Brian, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. I'm so happy to know you're on the air. You're a master rhetorician for the left, and we need that more than ever. Our nation does. I wanted to say that we could have, I've studied a lot about World War II and history about Vietnam, the Vietnam War. Mm-hmm. We could have done all this with American sailors visiting their Vietnamese ally in World War II in September 1945. Ho Chi Minh marched in Hanoi with the Viet Minh. That's the name for the,
right.
What was to become the Viet Cong. He read from the Declaration of Independence. He loved America at that time. He knew we were anti-colonial people, or he thought we were. He had traveled to America and France. He was very pro-Western. He could have definitely been a Tito of Southeast Asia.
Mm-hmm.
We could have had a friendly relationship with Vietnam going back. We could have avoided all of this, and the French could have learned just that from Deng Xiaoping the madness of trying to hang on to empire after the trying to save honor after World War II. There, it was also such madness. And I know what you're saying about why. How is it that they can toast so? You know, easily to Ho Chi Minh now, who was a mortal enemy that cost us 60,000 lives and then millions of lives, when at the same time, if so much has been lost for that, and at the same time, we could have had peace with Ho Chi Minh all along.
Sure, sure. All he wanted from the United States was support.
Yeah.
He was a communist at a time when communism was the big bugaboo, but you're right.
He was a Vietnamese nationalist far more than a communist, though.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And he would have been the Marshal Tito of Southeast Asia. He would have been. It could have been just such a much better situation.
We don't learn from the history, though. Why are we in Iraq now?
No. So here we are again. Here we are again, based on lies, monstrous, massive lies, and the same people.
I'm a humanities type of major, graduate study in theological, spiritual, all that. And people tell me I've tried to learn from science courses. I have to be more Baconian, which is like Sir Francis Bacon. You look at things of the hard, experiential, real world. But I looked at the real world history of places like Vietnam and post-World War II America, and I want to learn from it, but it seems like the rest of the country, the American sheeple, just do not want to learn from it.
No, no. Yep. It's something that happened two generations ago. Nobody cares.
That's like a millisecond in the terms of human evolution.
Well, sure. But one thing about us in this society, we do not learn from our mistakes.
I knew many of the Marines killed in 1983 in Beirut. I know I've emailed you a couple of times about it. And then Ronald Reagan sells tons and tons of missiles to their Iranian Hezbollah killers in the Iran-Contra scandal.
I know.
So I it's hard for me. I'm a veteran, and I'm also manic depressive, and things like that. That I probably could be doing very well in Baghdad right now. But it's so easy for humans to act emotively instead of thoughtfully towards things and violently towards things.
Sure.
That's little children do that. But they're supposed to learn and get beyond that.
I know, and talk show hosts will sometimes do it too. Hey, listen, Brian, I have to move on. Thank
Good
you,
night,
sir. All right, I appreciate you checking in. I really, really do. Jack is calling from Washington, D.C. Hey, Jack.
Good evening, sir. How are you?
Doing fine. How are you?
I hate to be the bearer of bad news.
Uh-oh.
This is an interesting thing that I saw on the Toronto Star first reported it, and I didn't really see it in any of the radio or television outlets in the U.S., a couple of the U.S. newspapers picked it up. But on the State Department's website, this was about a week and a half ago, they posted a very small link that if you clicked on it, it was calling for volunteers to serve on draft boards.
I know. We honest to God, Jack, we talked about it on this program. Also, we talked about a year ago about legislation that has passed out of the House Armed Services, a subcommittee on the House Armed Services Committee, where the legislation has already been written. All it's going to take is somebody in the Republican Party with the guts to introduce this legislation, and because it's not going to come from the Democrats. I realize that Charles Rangel and the senator from South Carolina, have proposed a draft, but they were being coy and wry, and what they were trying to say is, look, as long as we're going to do this, invade countries and blow people up and kill things, let's not have a volunteer army. Let's just involve everybody. But you're right. The plans have been laid, and there will be an effort made if there is a Republican. It won't be a Democrat. If there's a Republican in the House who has the courage to do this, because one thing about Republicans, whether they're in the House, they feel okay about this. But out here in the real world, if there's one thing Republicans hate, that is giving up their sons and daughters to go die for some punk like George Bush.
Well, I also think that there's an air to truth when you're talking about election year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anyone wants to do that right now, but I'm telling you something. What is it? We have 10... I'm not exactly sure of the terminology, but we have 10 divisions in the United States of troops, and within those divisions there's battalions, and from what I understand, we're down to one division.
We do not have the fighting force that we had at one time, although our defense budget is probably 10 or 20 times what it needs to be. And I think one of the reasons for it is during the Clinton years, people could get into the workforce. People could go make money. People could get educated. What the Republicans are doing in taking away Pell Grants, making sure the cost of education goes up, destroying the economy, pushing jobs down to the point where they're practically non-existent, that guarantees that you will have an inflow of tens, if not hundreds of thousands of young men and now young women who are simply looking for education or a job or health care or a place to stay. And these people are the ones that the Bush crime family are going to send to slaughter.
I don't know what to say to that. I mean, I can't disagree.
I know. I hear you. Jack, thanks for checking in, pal.
Have a good night, sir.
All right. Appreciate your call.
Yeah. this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Ugh. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a...
more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red 90?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold. Medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long, itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Andy Dave Rush here, inviting you to listen to Home Improvement USA. Ken Walchek from Chicago's number one hardware store, Clark Devon Hardware, John Seip from United Marketing Force, Jay Brentlinger from Orban, and, of course, Danny Lipford from today's Homeowner Television Show, take your home improvement questions. Our guests include industry experts from across the country. We've been America's most useful talk show for 10 years, so join us for Home Improvement USA every Saturday, 2 to 4 Eastern, and rebroadcast 8 to 10 Eastern right here on IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, your animalogical super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like, from Eight Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
You can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel. Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Animal Talk, your animalogical super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like, from Eight Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
You can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel. Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
Truth, Justice, and the American Way with Mike Malloy. Where else?
Hey, after the break, we'll have some sound from the pig man himself, Rush Limbaugh, trying to explain away his money laundering for his drug, well, you know. Ah, who's this we have? Tricky Dick Nixon calling all the way from hell. Mr. Nixon, Mr. President, I guess I should call you Mr. President. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Mr. Malloy. May I call you Mike?
I'd be more comfortable with Mr. Malloy, but go ahead. You can call me Mike.
Well, that's all right, Mr. Malloy. I'd like to respect your wishes.
Yeah.
Now, you said you wanted to dig up a Roman, so I thought I'd call in. Yeah. From my hot seat.
Your hot seat.
Ask away.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I almost fell asleep there. Do you still maintain that you are not a crook?
Let me say this about that.
Please.
Compared to the fella that you have in the Oval Office at the moment, I am a saint.
Yeah, well, you know, for once you'll get no argument from me.
I was mildly creepy.
You were more than mildly, sir.
In comparison to that chimpanzee you call a president, if you call him a president, I don't think he's cut from a presidential cloth.
I don't think so either.
Certainly not a respectable Republican cloth coat.
Can I ask you a difficult question?
Certainly.
Well, I don't know if you still have feelings left. When you were alive, I questioned whether or not you had feelings. But let's assume that you do. How do you feel about all those boys who lost their lives when you were in the Oval Office? And I will limit it to Vietnam. I realize that maybe only 35,000 died on your watch. But how do you feel about that?
At this point, I feel dreadful.
Dreadful?
Dreadful. Absolutely dreadful. Mm. I want you to get on your knees, Mike. I want you to get on your knees and pray with me.
I'd rather have a drink with you, Dick. I know that you enjoyed both of those. I saw the movie. I saw the movie. I know that you forced Kissinger, a nice Jewish man, to get
on a nice one, by the way,
to get on his knees and pray to your in your faith. That took a lot of chutzpah on your part, Mr. President.
Well, what I lacked in moral certitude, I more than made up in chutzpah.
Yes, you did. Well, listen, I thank you for calling in. I hope you'll call again. It's very.
I will. I'm here with checkers.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. How's
a lot of people?
Yeah. How's Pat? Very quickly.
Pat.
Yeah.
She's in another section.
I'm sure she is. Mr. President, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Mr. Malloy.
Okay. Talk about dead presidents.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003. My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of a brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy show, just say no.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York.
Support for Washington's handling of Iraq since George W. Bush declared an end to combat there on May 1st has plummeted, falling to 42% from 80% in an April 23rd poll. 55% of those polled disapproved of how the U.S. has handled post-war Iraq, the highest negative response since U.S. tanks entered Baghdad in April. 56% of respondents believed the war was worth it, while only 48% believed it made the United States safer, and 43% felt the war had actually made the United States less safe from terrorists, up from 33% in the April poll. In a tactic reminiscent of Israeli crackdowns in the West Bank and Gaza, the U.S. military has begun destroying the homes of suspected guerrilla fighters in Iraq's Sunni Triangle, evacuating women and children, then leveling their houses with heavy weaponry. At least 15 homes have been destroyed in Tikrit, including four leveled Sunday by tanks and Apache helicopters that allegedly belonged to suspects in the November 7th downing of a Black Hawk helicopter that killed six Americans. Family members at one of the houses in the village of Hoveida said they were given 5 minutes to evacuate before soldiers opened fire. Yesterday, angry residents of Al-Hoveida said the tactic will spawn more guerrilla fighters and perhaps spark an Iraqi uprising similar to the Palestinian Intifada in the West Bank and Gaza. Radio talk show host Rush Limbaugh may have violated state money laundering laws in the way he handled the money he used to buy the prescription drugs to which he was addicted, according to law enforcement officials in Florida and New York. Officials say they became aware 2 years ago that Limbaugh had taken between 30 and 40 cash withdrawals from his account in amounts just under $10,000. Banks must file a report to the government if someone withdraws more than $10,000 at once. A conviction on such charges in Florida would be a first-degree felony, punishable by up to 30 years in prison. More news after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C.
German archaeologists have unearthed what could be Europe's oldest toothbrush, officials said Tuesday. The brush, dug up at the site of a former hospital in the western city of Minden, is at least 250 years old. While the bristles have rotted away, the brush's 4-inch handle of animal bone is carved at the other end into a tiny spoon, believed to be used for the cleaning of the owner's ears. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
You don't want to miss the first pitch of the playoffs for the second year in a row, so you're probably scrambling for dinner. Hey, think fast. Think eggs, like an omelet with mushrooms, cheese, and tomatoes, or anything else you like. Omelets are delicious, easy to make, and ready in minutes. So, you get to the game on time, see the first pitch, your team sweeps the playoffs, and goes on to win the championship. All thanks to the incredible edible egg. Think fast. Think eggs. For other quick dinner ideas, visit AEB.org, the American Egg Board.
Some days, I don't know whether to laugh, cry, or go in for a brain scan. That's how I felt when I read about the jaw-dropping corporate chutzpah of an outfit named Neighbor Industries, physically located in Houston. I say physically because Neighbors is one of those notorious corporate abdicators that have legally uprooted themselves from America and formally reincorporated in the tax havens of Bermuda and Barbados. Thanks to a slick loophole slipped into our country's bizarre tax laws, Neighbors, Inc. can simply maintain a mail drop and a legal letterhead in these offshore islands and, hocus pocus, escape paying U.S. taxes, since technically it's no longer an American corporation. Last year alone, this Bermuda shell game allowed Neighbors to dodge $10 million in taxes owed to the red, white, and blue. But now, this fair-weather patriot suddenly wants Uncle Sam to treat it like an American corporation. Not for tax purposes, of course, but for the purpose of getting some shipbuilding business that is reserved by law for U.S. companies.
Neighbors wants to have its cake in America, but eat it in Bermuda. A family-owned shipping firm in Louisiana that has to compete with Neighbors calls it, quote, grossly unfair that we pay taxes for certain services and this big corporation goes foreign and they get the benefit of the same services without paying for them. Yet, Neighbors has a hotshot, high-dollar Washington lobbyist trying to ram through a behind-the-scenes law that would let it both abandon America and take American business from taxpaying American companies. The lobbyist even is disdainful and insulting to the taxpaying companies that oppose Neighbors' power play, saying, those are the guys we like to call the whiners. This is Jim Hightower saying, well, the lobbyists and executives of Neighbors Industries are guys I like to call treasonous greedheads.
What do you think I like about communing with nature as much as I do, being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? Yeah. You're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
I know you're out there somewhere. I know I'll find you somehow, and somehow I'll return.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
The words that I remember from my childhood still are true. That there's none so blind as those who will not see. I know you're out there somewhere.
Welcome back. 7:30 past the hour. We have to talk about the falling dollar. We also have to talk about the fact that Richard Pearl has now conceded in the UK with Too Stupid to Be President. Richard Pearl has conceded that the invasion of Iraq was illegal. We will get to that. But I want to talk a little bit and not very long. I have some sound for you about the pig man. And the reason for it is, for the past 10 years, Rush Limbaugh has done more damage to this country than Al Qaeda, than terrorists, than Nazi spies in World War II. Rush Limbaugh is worse than a virus. He and Clear Channel and Premier Radio Networks and the people who have copied Limbaugh's style have caused more damage to the fabric of the society than anybody I can think of in my life. It's been a bloodbath. It's been horrifying. His career is over. He'll remain on the air for a while. But even his hardcore ditto heads, I mean, drug usage, drug conspiracies, money laundering, you know, how much can even they take? Now, some of them won't give up until they find him in bed with a live boy or a dead girl. And to those people, you people are really sick. Limbaugh is a pig. He's filthy. He has polluted the airwaves of this country for a good 10 years. The damage he's done has been incalculable. So that's why we talk about him a bit. ABC News reported yesterday, or was it today, Kathy? I guess yesterday is when the report started, that Limbaugh may have, there's the qualifiers, violated state money laundering laws in the way he handled the money he used to buy the illegal drugs to which he was addicted. That's according to law enforcement officials in Florida and New York. They told this to ABC News. Now, he's a rich man. He's an icon. He has millions of worshipers. He is more popular than Jesus Christ, but he's also facing 30 years in prison. His lawyer, Roy Black, famed criminal lawyer, denied today there was any foundation for a money laundering prosecution. Said, no, you're crazy. Roy Black told ABC News, quote, there's no basis for these charges. He has not committed any acts of money laundering, and he absolutely denies it. I can assure you, and Rush assures the listeners on his radio station, when we can, we will tell the story, and he will tell it himself. Everybody will see what is really going on here. Yeah, okay, okay. Now, isn't the Republicans who always scream and wet their pants about the weaselly attitudes and behavior of trial lawyers? Hello? Limbaugh makes an estimated $35 million a year. He had no shortage of legally earned money to buy the drugs that he bought illegally and from the street, using hiding behind the skirts of his housekeeper, for Christ's sake, contributing to terrorism, contributing to God knows how many drug murders in Miami and Colombia, in wherever these things are produced and sold on the black market. Rush Limbaugh is drenched in blood. Screw his addiction. I don't care. I don't care. I have no sympathy for this man at all. He is a pig junkie. He is a wealthy pig junkie, and the damage he has done is incalculable. But authorities say they became aware 2 years ago during an investigation of a New York bank, the U.S. Trust, that Limbaugh had taken between 30 and 40 cash withdrawals from his account up to that point in amounts just under 10 grand. And you know why. We touched on this last night. Banks have to report transactions of $10,000 or more. Now, I saw somebody on Wolf Blitzer's program today, a banking law investigator, official, somebody who knows, and said that taking these deposits repeatedly of $9,984, $9,926, you know, on and on, that in itself is suspicious activity. And in order to, or in attempting to thwart these banking laws, these $10,000 transaction laws, that in itself is an indication of an attempt to launder money. Now, Limbaugh's lawyers do confirm that as part of this bank, U.S. Trust's service, a bank employee personally delivered cash to Limbaugh at his New York studio in these $9,900 amounts or so, over and over and over again. I wonder how ABC feels knowing that major, major drug deals went down on their property. Now, I mentioned this because, you know, I had to take P tests with ABC in order to get a job working for ABC in Chicago. I wonder why they never P tested the pig man. Well, he was too big to P test. But I wonder how ABC, I wonder how Michael Eisner of the sacrosanct Disney Corporation that owns ABC, how does he feel? How you doing tonight, Michael, knowing that this pig was doing major drug deals on your property? Hmm? No? No answer? Okay. The delivery of these amounts, Jack Blum, an expert on financial crime, said that in itself is a suspicious activity. They are structuring their transaction to avoid reporting to the government, and the bank is required to file with the federal government something called a suspicious activity report. Now, Limbaugh and his lawyers say it was the bank that suggested the arrangement. Yeah. Why? So that Rush wouldn't have to stand in line like an average person. That's the cover story Rush is putting out there. Now, back in July of 2001, and this was all over the New York Times, although the depositors' names were not in the article, but back in July 2001, the bank paid a $10 million fine because of these Limbaugh transactions and others like it. There were other junkies and drug dealers and arms dealers and people wanting to hide their transactions in violation of U.S. law. Do you understand what this filthy pig has done? Now, innocent until proven guilty? I don't think so. He's already proven himself guilty. He's admitted his involvement in prescription drugs, illegally obtained. So there's your prima facie evidence right there. The records are available for his money laundering. There's the evidence there. This man is a criminal of the highest order. He's big, and he's white, and he's wealthy. And that means he can do anything he wants to do. Kind of like Michael Jackson when you come to think about big and white and wealthy. Now, the expert on financial crimes says the problem will be, did he also assist his drug supplier in hiding the proceeds from the government? Now, remember this woman, the maid, has said that Limbaugh paid her, what was the number, $300,000-$400,000, which pretty much dovetails with the amounts of money that Limbaugh claims he withdrew for walking around money, for tips, for working on his house in Palm Beach. Yeah, okay, Rush, sure, sure. If it can be proven that Rush Limbaugh laundered money on top of the drug involvement, on top of the conspiracies, this man is toast. Now, there's an old truth in this country that rich white people do not go to prison for the crimes that the rest of us, black, white, or Hispanic, do go to prison for. So, yeah, there's probably a very good chance that Rush Limbaugh will not go to prison. He'll cut a deal. He'll something will come up. He'll hide behind his addiction. He'll say, "Oh, poor me." Rush Limbaugh is like, and this is so old, it's got a beard on it, but he's like the person who kills his parents and then asks for the mercy of the court because he's now an orphan. This is Limbaugh. Limbaugh's lawyers say he didn't do anything and he's being falsely accused by those who want to force him off the air. Who in the hell would that be? Me? Who wants to force Limbaugh off the air? Who could that possibly? Who has the power? You see, nobody does. Nobody. What you're hearing when that's said is drug paranoia, even by his lawyers. I hope he gets a good defense. I hope the son of a bitch goes to prison for a long, long time, and I hope his career is over. Again, he has done more damage in this country, as far as I'm concerned, than any terrorist, any narco terrorist, any religious freak, because Limbaugh has dumped into this society lies. He has corrupted political discourse. Everything that he says, like everything Bush says, is a lie. And I defy anyone to prove me wrong. You can't. Now, today on his program, here's where he touches running. He can't really talk about it, but he talks about the money laundering charge. And don't feel sorry for this jackass, for all these investigations that he's enduring right now, for all his criminal activity. There's just not much he can discuss without his lawyer present.
Well, the story on ABC News, World News Tonight, last night, was that there is a money laundering investigation of me that is underway. Let me say here at the top of the program, ladies and gentlemen, that I have not laundered any money. I want to give you the truth of the story that was sketchily passed on last night. And as I said, I know where it came from. I know who's behind it.
Yeah.
And I know what its intent is. And again, there's a lot here. You must understand, and I've been saying this since the Friday before I left, there are a lot of things that people think they know that are not true, think they know that they don't know. And the time will come soon where all this can be explained, but for now I have to hold it in check.
Yeah, well, we can't wait. We can't wait, you absolute destroyer of truth, you liar, you punk, you thug. A couple more Limbaugh quotes when we come back.
The size of a washtub. And I ask, this is big as Missouri.
Yes!
His bastard is sick, he's a fat mump is big, and his ass is as big as the sun.
Yes, Curry Bob! Manipulating statements, exaggerating the truth. I can't believe they hate my show. Inspires. It's not just because I'm stupid. It's not just because I'm stunned. It's just because Republicans are liars. I am heartless. I am vain, insensitive, insane. They say that I'm a national disgrace. I am nasty, insulting, basically revolting. I'm a concentrated pile of human waste. Because I'm a Nazi.
He's a Nazi.
I really am, because I'm a Nazi.
He's a Nazi.
That's right.
You're being scammed.
I'm a Nazi.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
There are over 200 laxatives on the market today, and the one doctors recommend most is Colace Stool Softener Laxatives. That's because over the years, doctors have learned stimulant-free Colace capsules provide comfortable relief their patients can rely on. If you suffer from occasional bouts of constipation, try Colace capsules. If you do, we're sure we'll receive another important endorsement. Yours. For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, and you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to IEAmericaRadio.com. I'll be there.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple. Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show, where we serve you food with attitude, plus a heaping helping of humor.
And a playful pinch of romance.
It's all about food, family, and fun.
We'll help you juggle kids, kitchen, career, health, and relationships with passion and commitment.
We cover everything from new product reviews and consumer information to quick, simple, and easy recipes just for the two of you.
Plus parenting tips and tricks.
Cooking advice to save time and money.
Nutrition news and health. Healthier living.
Entertainment options for the whole family.
And how to tag team manage kids, career, life, and relationships.
Plus, I'll tell you how to train your in-laws so they don't become outlaws.
So tune in every Sunday from 12 noon to 2 right here for the Cooking Couple Show.
And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, yum, one, two, four, and you.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to IEAmericaRadio.com. I'll be there.
Radio right from the left. It's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. I know we're all tired, we're all fatigued, and there are important things to talk about. But again, the reason I am playing these sound bites of Rush Limbaugh is that, first of all, they're funny to see this man swirling around in his own body juices. The lies, the rationalities, and plus, again, were he a Peter Werbe or a Mike Malloy or who else? Randy Rhodes, Bernie Ward, in other words, somebody who may have a radio show, but certainly none of us have had the impact that Limbaugh has. And his impact has been all evil and negative. For that reason, this guy warrants being treated now as a story. And again, I said a long time ago, the kiss of death in media is when you become the story. And Limbaugh has now crossed that line. Here's his story of how he became involved with the U.S. Trust Bank, the one that he claims advised him to launder money.
As I lived in New York, I met some people. And you start talking about life and things, and they said, well, you need to go to U.S. Trust. And they set me up a meeting at U.S. Trust. I was referred to that bank, when I met with them, they made a pitch to me about their services.
Yeah, drug services.
They pitched all their services that they provide in the wealth management and the private banking division. In the course of their meeting with me, they explained that I would never have to stand in line again. If I needed cash, they'd bring it to me.
and their wealth management division and drugs, drug laundering and drug purchase, I'd have to stand in line again. How the money laundering scam that wasn't happened.
And at this time, when they were pitching their services to me, they told me that when I was going to withdraw cash, keep it under $10,000 so they wouldn't have to report anything to the government. There was a $10,000 reporting requirement, and they said if you keep it under that, then nobody has to file any paperwork and so forth and so on, meaning them at the bank. And so that's what I did.
Yeah.
Every time I got cash from the bank, I made sure it was less than $10,000. I opened up some accounts, and the account that I have is the account that I receive the money that I am owed for the work I do here, the EIB network. It's the account that I pay bills out of. It's just like yours or anybody else's.
I don't think so, Rush. I don't think it's like mine or anybody else's. I don't think it's like anybody that listens to you, with the possible exception of your freakish buddies at Halliburton and Bechtel and places like that. You ass. You total ass. Sitting there on your crappy program with your lies and your deceptions. Oh, it was the bank's fault, right? And it was your maid's fault, right? And it was your back pay. And it was the doctor who prescribed, and it was the pharmacist. Yeah, Limbaugh. So here's how he became part of the government investigation.
The government in New York State was investigating U.S. Trust because the bank had apparently told many other of their clients that their cash withdrawal should be in amounts of less than $10,000.
Everybody does.
I was one of the last people they talked to.
Yeah.
And they met, a couple people after me. I'm not really sure. But shortly after I met with them, U.S. Trust admitted to this and paid a $10 million fine, and that's it.
Yeah.
I don't know how many other customers they had advised to do this, but there were enough that they incurred a $10 million fine, agreed to it, and that's what was going on here. I mean, the bank advised everybody, all their customers, to just keep the cash withdrawals under $10,000.
Can you believe this? Can you believe this squirmy, wiggly, lying, pass the buck, coward?
And starts a tax offensive on the poor. It's a mystery in the making.
Everybody!
It's distinctly upper class.
Well, not everybody.
Yes, sir, I'll get the door, roll the carpet on the floor.
Ditto.
Ditto. Ditto.
Ask us the name of the king. It's Rush.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
nature's recovery from the extinction of species is simply a matter of time. A long, long time. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Mass extinctions have wiped out most of the world's plant and animal species at least five times in Earth history. Scientists have used fossils and other evidence to figure out what life forms perished in these natural disasters, but Duke University paleontologist Ann Weil is more interested in the survivors. Weil has been poring over an enormous database that contains the Earth's known fossil record. She and her colleagues have been able to graph not only extinctions of species throughout history, but the births of new species as well, what are called origination and diversification events. The scientists have found an interesting pattern, and it holds true for extinction events on any scale, from the local to the global. In every case, origination and diversification lagged behind extinction by 10 million years.
So instead of looking at each individual extinction event, what we did was we tried to match these two curves. One for just a count or percentages of extinctions, and the other for counts or percentages of originations. And we found that those originations were lagging the extinction statistics by 10 million years.
Weil says this 10 million year period can be seen as the time that nature needs to recover from the loss of species. And she says the kind of ecosystem doesn't seem to alter the pattern. They all take about the same amount of time to heal after a disaster, no matter what kinds of ecological niches are left unfilled by extinctions. Weil says these findings have implications for conservation efforts today. Most experts agree that the world is in the midst of an extinction crisis right now, possibly losing one species per hour. The fossil record shows that nature will take millions of years to recover. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Tick-tick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal
narwhal.
Talk. We talk about what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z, Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network. Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Vampire bat.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
The flying monkey ride blues. Here's the cure, Mike Malloy.
Before the hour. Yeah, we just wanted to do that segment. There will be more on the pig man as you listen to him dance and bob and weave. Maybe you get the same impression that I do, that all of these people, all of these neo-Nazi right-wingers, every single one of them, when they're caught with their drawers down around their ankles, when they're caught with their $2 million in gambling debts, when they're caught with their drug stashes and their involvement in money laundering, every single one of these pigs, every single one of them, they dance like a droplet of water on a hot griddle, don't they? But they know something that you and I also know, and that is, for the most part, they are rich, they are white, they are well-connected. Rush Limbaugh has been doing for George Bush what Monica did for Bill Clinton for years now, and for the Republican Party. And that's his lifeline, okay? He's counting on the fact that most of this is going, of course, the spitball in all this is a guy named Elliot Spitzer, who is the federal prosecuting attorney in New York. Now, Limbaugh will get a pass in Florida because of Jeb Bush, but Elliot Spitzer, will watch, won't we, and see what happens. Brian is calling from Aurora, Illinois. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, I can only imagine the kind of drugs I could buy for $9,999.99 in New York City.
Right. Well, and, don't forget, he was getting them from his housekeeper in Florida who were making sure the deals went down in the Denny's parking lot. Now, well, I'm reasonably sure he also had a dealer in New York, too. You're right.
Yeah, well, either way, it's a port city. I mean, what shows up next? The little Vietnamese boy in a cage?
Yeah, really.
You know? I mean, Michael Jackson is nothing.
I know.
You don't do drugs like that by yourself. You don't have this omnipotent power buzz like that and have it alone.
Well, Doc emailed me during the last break and said that, agreed essentially with what you're saying and what most people, rational people, understand. You can't do that many OxyContin a day. So... He's got them stashed away, which raises the question that was raised when it became clear that he was under suspicion. Why were not the cops crawling around his estate the way they were crawling around Michael Jackson's estate today? Why? Where is Limbaugh's wife in all this? Have you noticed how she's vanished?
Oh, jeez.
Just gone? She's vanished? Was it her job to flush everything? Was it her job to load it up and get it the hell out of here, down to some place in the Dominican Republic or someplace? Why did the police just, Limbaugh, oh, really, and then not flood his house the way they would have flooded yours or flooded mine?
I mean, I make an ATM withdrawal. My maximum is $200 a day. And I'm flying for, you know, three or four days.
Yeah, but if somebody said, Brian over in Aurora, I've been providing him with 1,000 OxyContin a day, they'd be on you like white on rice, Brian.
Well, let's not really bring that up right now.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry. Didn't mean to strike close to home there.
Yeah, I'll be the first to admit my guilt.
Yeah. Well, not on this program. Okay.
Yeah. But the American dream, it's not owning your own home and having a wife. It's being like Mick Jagger, right?
Absolutely.
And whatever it means necessary.
Absolutely.
If I have to talk like this for X number of years before I can have little Laotian boys prancing around in white cotton underpants, that's, you know, whatever it takes.
Really?
Anyway, speaking of the rise and fall of the Roman Empire, that was the reason I wanted to call tonight.
Yeah?
I was reading, I don't know if many people have the time to actually read the rise and fall of the Roman Empire.
I've read little snatches and bits and pieces.
Yeah.
I've never read it.
Well, I'm like 180 pages into it.
Oh, my God. But that's a record.
I recommend it to everybody. But the main theme is how people, the closer they get to this purple sash, how they go completely insane.
Right.
Completely insane. And, you know, even if I can only be emperor for 66 days, and I know I'm going to be killed horribly, it's worth it.
Yeah, I'll still do it.
Because I can buy OxyContin, at the corner market.
And I can invade foreign countries and kill people.
Yeah, because you get, I don't know if it's a power buzz or what.
Well, yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, it's the reptilian part of the brain working in concert with the DNA that demands power and control and placement in the next 15, 20,000 generations.
Yeah, I mean, the discourse nowadays only goes back as far as the Third Reich, mainly.
Right.
And that's all for paranoid freaks to begin with.
Well,
but, I mean, if you really look at it, this has been, Tolkien hit it with that Ring of Sauron.
Right.
Deal.
Yeah.
I mean, it's that reptilian thing. And, in fact, Sauron means reptile.
Does it?
If you break it down. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he knew. I'm sure he read, The Rise and Fall, or The Decline, I mean. Let's see. But did you want to talk about the devaluation of American currency?
Not right now.
I've
got some people holding on about this Limbaugh topic. But I'll tell you what, I might try to get to a little bit later. I understand Citibank has canceled all of its long-term dollar contracts. That was reported on NPR, I think, yesterday. It was talked about today. It was reported in the Financial Times yesterday or on CNBC.
Well, now that they got that fat cash influx from Mrs. Kroc, they can maybe have a little leeway with what they report. Huh?
With NPR? I would hope they would develop a pair and start reporting on these corporate thugs. Citibank apparently has canceled, and Citibank is one of the big cheerleaders for... you know, buying and selling dollar futures. And all of a sudden, they've canceled all of their long-term contracts on the dollar, and foreign investors are pulling out. The euro is at its highest level ever against the dollar. I think it's now at $1.16 per euro, or $1.17, maybe $1.19. I'll tell you, we're heading towards a concrete wall at about 95 miles an hour. And, and I hate it because I love my country. I just hate how it's being prostituted by these Bush thugs.
Well, can I say one more thing, Mike?
Sure.
I actually work at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, and having lived in Chicago, I'm sure you're familiar with these little frat boys and their little jackets.
Yeah.
And it's the biggest euro dollar, so-called pit in North America.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been there for like a year, and I still can't figure out what's going on. But the day, was it a Thursday when the actual invasion took place? I mean, we tried in Chicago.
Yeah.
We showed up and got beaten and maced and whatever. But the day of the invasion was like 10 o'clock. The whole town was just brokenhearted, you know?
Right.
But working in this place, I walked back in after lunch, and these little guys were jumping up and down, kissing and hugging each other. Just celebrating, jubilant,
Right.
Because they got to trade again.
Yeah.
And it's all, if the American, the Yankee dollar goes down in the toilet, it doesn't matter because it's a trade,
I hear that.
I wish I knew more to tell you about it to unmask the complete conspiracy.
Yeah.
But, as far as like forms of scum on the earth, traitors are like right there.
They are, especially when they the commodities traders determine the prices of things now, not the market, not the market really working on the basis of supply and demand, whether or not a farmer or a miner or a timber a wood chopper works a little bit harder today. It's all these future traders really are the scum of the earth.
Yeah,
I just hate them. I don't understand. It's like derivatives. It's like we live in a capitalist society, and people will figure out ways to make money on money, which, by the way, is totally against God's law, whether you're Islamic or Christian. To make money on money is just you're trucking with the devil.
Yeah, it never should have been made legal in the first place.
I hear that.
I mean, I look at it as like betting on cow pie bingo, or betting on the bets people make on cow pie bingo.
That's
a polite assumption.
I know. I hear you.
Anyway, all right. Thanks a lot, Mike.
Thank you, Brian. I appreciate you checking in. Appreciate it. Alicia's calling from Tampa. Hey, Alicia.
Hi. How are you doing, Mike?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine.
Good.
Hey, I want to tell you, you are so funny. Seriously, I had to play back your show from last night for my husband.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Hey, in reference to Rush and his drug laundering, doesn't it sound familiar? I am not a crook.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. I have one question for Mr. Lumbach.
Yeah, what's that?
And that is, did you pay for your drugs with credit card, money order, personal check?
Cash.
You understand.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
disgusting.
There is something evil in celebrating somebody else's downfall. But I'm sorry, that part of me is forever evil. I look at it this way. I didn't feel bad when I don't feel bad when any tyrant bites the dust. People who have caused pain and death and destruction, and I don't feel bad when a verbal tyrant bites the dust, when a Newt Gingrich or a Henry Hyde or Rush Limbaugh, when they go down, I just celebrate it. I celebrate it because I think the world is a better place when these pigs are removed.
But he lied. He lied, Mike. He lied today on his show.
Yeah? Well, that's a first.
You know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I do, indeed.
It's just disgusting. I mean, what's the story on him? Is he still doing drugs?
Probably.
What do you think?
Well, I think he probably is, A, but B, and more importantly, he's beginning to understand that he is facing some serious problems, drug conspiracy charges and money laundering charges, and I think what he's trying to do is set his defense as quickly as he can with the people who may have to sit judgment on him, and that would be a jury someplace. So he's scampering to cover his ass right now. And, I don't think it's
good. I do hope Elliot Spitzer comes into the scene.
Oh, so do I.
I love that guy.
Spitzer.
And as far as Rush goes, I mean, you know, who are you kidding? You know, $9,000 walking around money. Oh, I was remodeling my home.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, $9,000 walking around money. Well,
am I that stupid?
Somebody said it. The rich are different from you and me, Alicia. So I guess that's it. Hey, Alicia, thanks for checking in.
Okay.
All right. You have a nice evening. Yeah, of course it's walking around money. Absolutely. And he's entitled to it. I don't give a tinker's damn if the man carries $9 million in his pocket. That's certainly his business. It's his hypocrisy, the smarmy attack on all things decent in this country. This is the most indecent man I've ever heard on radio, and has been for the past 10 years. Anything decent, any efforts made by people to lighten someone else's burden, to assist someone else who's sick or down on their luck.
Luck? There's no luck. You could be like me and make $35 million.
You know, that sort of thing. Just that hateful, vicious, bitchy attitude against the homeless, against environmentalists who are trying to preserve something so that Russia's spawn, if he were to ever have any, would have a park to go to or a mountain to climb or a stream to fish in. You know, it's that. It's the global nature of his ugliness and his destruction. Just across the spectrum, people who help other people are fools. People who try to preserve the environment or warn us about global warming are charlatans and liars. You know, it doesn't make any difference how much science, how much proof is put in front of a pig like Rush Limbaugh. And the terrible part is not Limbaugh. Limbaugh is an argument for post-birth abortion. You know, Limbaugh is a degenerate. So it's not about him. We can all agree he's a degenerate pig. It's about the people who put value on what the man has said for the past 10 years. The people who have bought into his distortions and half-truths and untruths and out-and-out lies. The people who have had their moral compass twisted into an unrecognizable mass of metal by what this punk has had to say about what constitutes decency and morality and ethical behavior. That's where the damage has been. And for that, I hope the son of a bitch goes to prison for the rest of his life. I hope his house burns down. I hope his wife runs off with another gardener. I hope the whole thing collapses down around his head because of the damage he has done. The global damage this man has done. And I don't know. Somebody said, well, Mike, are you going to acknowledge God now? What are you talking about? Well, you're alive, and Limbaugh is starting to go down, and you got to see it. Okay. Gary is calling from Colorado Springs. Hey, Gary.
Hey there. Good evening.
How you doing?
Excellent. Excellent. I was quite surprised to hear the pig man's confession on his program this morning. And,
yeah.
It was real interesting. I always love it when people start confessing to charges before the charges have been generally acknowledged and generally discussed.
But if you listen, and I'm sure you did, if you listen to the confession, you find out it's not a confession at all. It's a shifting of responsibility.
Well, it's an attempt to shift.
Right.
He was certainly tap dancing hard.
And isn't that so typically of the activity of a right winger?
No, the liberals do that shit.
Oh, that's
right wingers don't.
Oh, that's right.
Right wingers are proud about their behavior. Oh. They take responsibility for what they do. Don't you know that?
I'm sorry, I forgot.
It's you miserable liberals that snivel and whine all the time and make excuses.
Right.
A true right-wing person would not make such excuses. They would fess up to what they did. They're proud of how they live their life.
That's it, exactly.
My question, the thing I'm pondering, is why this guy has become fair game all of a sudden. Somebody high up in the system has figured out that he's worth more nailed to a cross and behind his golden EIB microphone every day?
I'm not sure. Let me put you on hold a second, and we'll address that when we come back. I've got to take a quick break here. I'm talking with Gary in Colorado Springs about the pig man, and we'll take your calls when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Mo. By the way, Peter Werby is going to join us here, I think, in the next hour with a live report from the Free Trade of the Americas situation in Miami. Stay with us.
Which is why you want to feel really fast. I mean, the instant maximum strength Mylanta liquid hits your throat, you can feel it rushing right to where you need it.
Ah, the cool liquid hits the back of your throat, and you know you're feeling something
velvety smooth, soothing that burning inside you. Mylanta's wonderful, wet, drenching sensation
restores and refreshes in a most glorious fashion.
Try maximum strength Mylanta.
Soothing at the
speed of life.
When Ann and Mike began looking for their dream home, someone else was there to help make it a reality. While Ann took virtual tours on Realtor.com, someone was there to check comparable listings. While Mike was searching for their homeowner's policy, someone was there to preview houses as they came on the market. And when Ann and Mike found their dream, someone else was there to make sure it didn't slip away. When you're ready to buy a home, work with someone who'll work with you. We're Realtors. Real estate is our life. Only Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
This is Dave.
Hey there.
Dave has a problem.
Maybe you have the problem understanding that we can be under attack at any time.
Dave suffers from TMRWM, otherwise known as too much or right wing amidiitis, or something like that.
The alarm's at orange now. What does that mean? Where's my chart?
But Dave's not alone.
Another Saddam tape. He's still alive.
There are millions of Americans all over the United States suffering from TMRWM.
Oh, there's weapons of mass destruction there. Somewhere. They'll find them.
Symptoms of TMRWM include insomnia, irritability, suspecting more than 3 people a day of being a terrorist.
That guy right there looks like one. So does this kid. You're not fooling me, buddy.
And much, much more. But there is a cure.
There is?
You can get the best in progressive talk radio weekdays on the only progressive talk radio network there is, IE America Radio Network. Get more information at ieamericaradio.com. Let's save our country one American at a time.
Thank you, IE America.
Let go of me, Dave.
Sorry.
The Tom Hartman Show.
back. This is Tom Hartman. I'm calling for a return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy that this country was founded on, when corporations had to answer to the people and couldn't buy off politicians, where fair play wasn't a code phrase for the rich getting more and working and middle management people getting less, where there was a social contract that people's basic needs would be taken care of because that's what we do in a community, in a nation that was founded on justice and fairness, not on materialism and greed, where people could work to get ahead, but at the same time, we don't leave people starving in the streets. The eternal question of this program is, are we advancing democracy or are we advancing corporatism?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
We're talking with Gary in Colorado Springs about Limbaugh. We got about a minute and a half here, Gary.
The question in my mind is, why is he all of a sudden a target?
Mm-hmm.
He certainly has enough power and enough prestige in the Republican right-wing neocon world to skate through all these things, and all of a sudden, people are starting to investigate him.
Well, I think part of it is, I don't disagree with you, obviously. There's nobody better connected in America than Rush Limbaugh where it concerns political protection. But you have to remember, Let's put it this way. Had this story just been in an investigative phase, which apparently it was, apparently Limbaugh's name came up 2 years ago with the possibility of money laundering in New York. It wasn't until his housemaid or housekeeper decided to make a few more bucks by selling the story to one of the tabloids in Florida that the whole thing blew open. So I now, once a story like this comes out, I don't care how well protected you are, it takes on a life of its own. Once it's out in the public, there's not a whole lot that Jeb Bush or George Bush or any of these other filthy pigs can do for Rush Limbaugh or Bill Bennett or any of them or Gary Bauer or any of these people, because it's out there now. So you can satisfy that little bit of paranoid curiosity that I have too by saying it this way. This story broke 2 years ago. Nobody heard about it. The feds knew that Rush Limbaugh had made $30,000 to $49,000 withdrawals of cash for something. Now the story is that they passed that information on to people in Florida so they could check out, because that immediately raises red flags of a drug habit. It just does. That's not normal behavior. So the story's been out there for a couple of years. It wasn't until the housekeeper went to the tabloid press that it really started to take
place.
So
what you're saying is my time of ignoring the story that I'm speculating should happen, given his power and connection, did happen, and it was the outing of the housekeeper that really turned it back on.
Yes, that's one way to look at it.
One of the visions that I keep getting, though, is this picture of Rush getting this suitcase full of cash, climbing on the airplane, and flying down to Florida with it.
Yeah, well.
And the image of that is just so rich. I mean, it fits the drug dealer habit so clearly.
Doesn't it? Gary, got a boogie.
One last thing.
Well, let me put you on hold then. I can't keep talking when the train's coming. By the way, before I forget, happy birthday to Billy Shears. Sorry we couldn't find somebody to sing it to you, but we want to wish you a happy birthday anyway.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Tia Carrera is on the front and Playboy.
I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years on them.
Well,
a few more years on them.
No, I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Radio talk show host Rush Limbaugh may have violated state money laundering laws in the way he handled the money he used to buy the prescription drugs to which he was addicted, according to law enforcement officials in Florida and New York. Officials say they became aware 2 years ago that Limbaugh had taken between 30 and 40 cash withdrawals from his account in amounts just under $10,000. Banks must file a report to the government if someone withdraws more than $10,000 at once. A conviction on such charges in Florida would be a first-degree felony, punishable by up to 30 years in prison. In a tactic reminiscent of Israeli crackdowns in the West Bank and Gaza, the U.S. military has begun destroying the homes of suspected guerrilla fighters in Iraq's Sunni Triangle, evacuating women and children, then leveling their houses with heavy weaponry. At least 15 homes have been destroyed in Tikrit, including four leveled Sunday by tanks and Apache helicopters that allegedly belonged to suspects in the November 7th downing of a Black Hawk helicopter that killed six Americans. Family members at one of the houses in the village of Hawaita said they were given 5 minutes to evacuate before soldiers opened fire. Yesterday, angry residents of Al-Hawaita said the tactic will spawn more guerrilla fighters and perhaps spark an Iraqi uprising similar to the Palestinian Intifada in the West Bank and Gaza. Support for Washington's handling of Iraq since George W. Bush declared an end to combat there on May 1st has plummeted, falling to 42% from 80% in an April 23rd poll. 55% of those polled disapproved of how the U.S. has handled post-war Iraq, the highest negative response since U.S. tanks entered Baghdad in April. 56% of respondents believed the war was worth it, while only 48% believed it made the United States safer, and 43% felt the war had actually made the United States less safe from terrorists, up from 33% in the April poll. More news after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C.
John Hirsch went toe-to-toe with a black bear and won. Hirsch had only a 3.5-inch knife blade when he came across the bear in his backyard about 190 miles northeast of Vancouver. The bear swatted out at him, but each time it lunged, Hirsch managed to stab it. Three stabs to the bear's chest and one to its neck finally did the Bruin in. The bear stood about 5'7" to Hirsch's 5'9". "I can sure say it looked smaller the next morning than it did during the fight," said Hirsch. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
While Mike was putting up his own for sale sign, someone was helping his neighbors, John and Diane, with plans to sell their home. As Mike spent Saturday figuring out legal agreements and guessing his home's value, someone was preparing a counteroffer so John could help at the school fundraiser. And while Mike and his wife were reevaluating their asking price for the third time, Someone was closing the sale on John and Diane's home. Work with someone who will work with you. We're realtors. Real estate is our life.
Some days I don't know whether to laugh, cry, or go in for a brain scan. That's how I felt when I read about the jaw-dropping corporate chutzpah of an outfit named Neighbor Industries, physically located in Houston. I say physically because Neighbors is one of those notorious corporate abdicators that have legally uprooted themselves from America and formally reincorporated in the tax havens of Bermuda and Barbados. Thanks to a slick loophole slipped into our country's bizarre tax laws, Neighbors, Inc. can simply maintain a mail drop and a legal letterhead in these offshore islands and, hocus pocus, escape paying U.S. taxes, since technically it's no longer an American corporation. Last year alone, this Bermuda shell game allowed Neighbors to dodge $10 million in taxes owed to the red, white, and blue. But now, this fair-weather patriot suddenly wants Uncle Sam to treat it like an American corporation. Not for tax purposes, of course, but for the purpose of getting some shipbuilding business that is reserved by law for U.S. companies. Neighbors wants to have its cake in America, but eat it in Bermuda. A family-owned shipping firm in Louisiana that has to compete with Neighbors calls it, quote, grossly unfair that we pay taxes for certain services and this big corporation goes foreign and they get the benefit of the same services without paying for them. Yet, Neighbors has a hotshot high-dollar Washington lobbyist trying to ram through a behind-the-scenes law that would let it both abandon America and take American business from taxpaying American companies. The lobbyist even is disdainful and insulting to the taxpaying companies that oppose Neighbors' power play, saying, those are the guys we like to call the whiners. This is Jim Hightower saying, well, the lobbyists and executives of Neighbors Industries are guys I like to call treasonous greedheads.
See the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows than you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. We're at 800 Talk Yes. I'm hoping Peter Werby will call in from Miami, but with all the lines tied up now, I don't know. Too bad we don't have an extra line, do we, Kathy? Oh, Jesus. God, I hate being poor and working for a broke network. God. Let's see. Oh, yeah. I got an email during the break from the radical moderate. Elliot Spitzer is the Attorney General of New York State. Thank you, radical moderate. I was trying to make him a federal attorney. I was trying to make him part of the Justice Department. Thank God we have the audience that we have. Jane is calling from Nashville, our bureau chief there, as a matter of fact. Hey, Jane, haven't heard from you since, what, my birthday?
Pools of sorrow, ways of joy are through your open mind, possessing and caressing you. Happy birthday, Billy Shears. Happy birthday, Billy Shears. Happy birthday, Billy Shears. Happy birthday, Billy.
I can't believe I did that.
Well, thank you, Jane. That was very kind of you to do that. I'm sure Billy Shears is now in a state of utter bliss, probably prone, probably on the floor, probably...
he's a good guy.
Happy as a pig in swill, as we say here in the South. How have you been?
Well, I've been great.
Yeah?
I've been great. I am... Mike, you sound so down tonight, and I have to tell you.
No, I've still got like 9 or 10 stitches in my mouth. I have Aww. Threads. I have threads Aww. Flapping around when I'm talking. There are long threads flapping around. I don't dare cut them or take them out.
Oh, okay.
Right, and plus I'm on heavy duty OxyContin. No. Listen, you know what I take for pain? Bufferin.
Good for you.
Bufferin. Until I get home. Once I get home, then I have a Jack Black and Coke, and that that takes the edge off. But no, I've done every drug there is to do. I came up. My generation, a lot of us did everything. I don't think there's a drug out there, legal or illegal, that I haven't done, gotten high on, gotten scared about, enjoyed, whatever. But I'm too old to do it now. I just don't do. I don't even smoke cigarettes anymore. I do coffee, and I do. Kathy, what else? I said Jack Daniels. Occasionally, I'll have a drink a night.
You got to stop that old stuff. You're not old. You got to stop it. I saw you.
Hey, I'm like Bart Kopp, you know.
You are not.
Bart Kopp and I are about the same age, I think. And is he older than me, Kathy?
No.
Oh, he's not. He's younger than me? Oh, geez, that's scary.
Oh, that's a silly mindset. You got to stop.
Because he always says, I'm so old, I remember when.
No.
I stole that from him. I steal a lot of stuff from Bart Kopp.
Mike, you're young. You're vibrant.
Yeah, okay.
You're changing the world.
With a mouthful of stitches.
With a mouthful of stitches.
Indeed.
But I just want to say one thing.
Hmm?
I want to say that we're the majority.
Yes, we are.
And I also want to say that this is our country.
Yes, it is.
And I don't know about anybody else, but this one American here, I'm not going to sit back and I'm not going to take it. I'm not going to take any more. And I am so busy and... organizing, joining, participating, and I'm going to take this. I'm going to be part of the movement that takes this country back, and make no mistake about it.
Make no mistake, it's coming back. I sign on to that army. I agree. I'm right there. Do I sound down? Yeah, I do sound down. Kathy's sick. I've got a mouthful of stitches. I look at this stuff that passes for news on television hour after hour today on Michael Jackson. I think about Bush over there in England. I look at the situation in Iraq. Yeah, it's you can get down. But I'm on your team, Jane. You sign me up. Put me down. I'll be one of your foot soldiers, whatever it takes. Yes, ma'am. I'm right there. I'm right there, Captain.
Well, that's what I want to hear.
Well, I'm there. I'm there.
This is our country, people. It's ours. It's ours, and we're taking it back.
It is.
Period.
And we will.
Yes.
Thanks, Jane.
Thank you. Have a great night.
All right. You too. Appreciate you checking in. Happy birthday to Bill. Does Jane know Billy Shears? Okay. From the message board. Oh, okay. All right. Well, y'all are just very kind to each other. That's great. Pat's calling. He's one of our over-the-road truckers who listens on Sirius. He's driving to Missouri. Hey, Pat.
Hi, Mike.
I'm sorry, she. I'm getting a little bit blurry tonight. Hi, Pat.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing fine.
Good. I was just thinking about Rush Limbaugh going to trial, and I started thinking,
yeah,
are they going to, instead of having 6 men, 6 women on the jury, are they going to have 6 Republicans and 6 Democrats?
Well, you know, there is such a thing as jury nullification. Depending on your point of view, I happen to think that that's what happened at the O.J. Simpson trial. O.J. Simpson was as guilty as Rush Limbaugh is, but the jury said, nah, to hell with it. Jury nullification is a process that sometimes, in drug cases, I think is a good idea. But I think if Limbaugh goes on trial... there may be jury nullification simply because they're in awe of the pig man. But I don't know. I have my doubts as to whether or not Rush Limbaugh will ever see the inside of a courtroom.
Oh, I was just kind of driving along and thinking about that, wondering how they were going to do that. Hey, Mike, could I have my very own personal, I hate these people.
You got it, Pat.
Good night, Mike.
All right, Pat. Thanks. Drive safely, okay?
Thank you.
Wait. Don't leave. Don't leave.
Okay.
Wait, Kathy's saying something in my headphones. Don't leave, Pat.
Say it just for Pat.
Say what?
Have I mentioned yet this evening?
Oh, that's what I'm supposed to say. I'm sorry, I didn't understand you. Have I mentioned yet this evening, Pat, how much I hate these people?
Thank you. All right.
You got it.
Have a good evening, Mike.
All right, Pat, you too. I'm sorry, Kathy, I just didn't understand what you were saying.
You are getting a little old there, aren't you?
It's the OxyContin. It's the stitches.
It's the bank. The bank made you do it.
Try talking with a mouthful of string, a thread. This is, you know, it's been over two weeks since that damn surgery. And it's just, those of you who may or may not go through some of this, a bone, what did I have? I had a bone.
You had a sinus lift, a bone graft, two extractions, a biopsy of a cyst.
They took it out.
A platelet reconstruction, and they left a hole in your jaw, apparently.
Well, that's because my general dentist, jerkwater that he is, when I went in for a checkup with him, he saw one of those strings flap, and he said, here, let me take this out. So as a result, I'm sorry. I don't mean to do that. But just by way of explanation, because I was telling Kathy and I on the way in here, I sound like a moron. I sound like I'm talking through with a mouthful of popcorn kernels. And that's what's going on, and it's going to be this way for a while. it was the bank. It was the OxyContin. My good friend Peter Werby is checking in. He's joining us from Miami, where he has been participating actively in the Free Trade of the Americas demonstrations against these bastards who are trying to destroy things even further. Hey, Peter, how you doing?
Mike Malloy, hi. Well, we now know what it means, state of siege. Remember that movie from whenever, the 70s or the 60s, the Costa Gravis?
Yeah, I do.
Well, that's exactly the way it is. I guess they've been showing some of it on television.
Pete, I have seen nothing today. Before we get into the particulars of it, give us a flavor of what's going on down there, the protesters and the responses and so on
sure.
and so forth.
Well, there's a ministerial meeting of these trade ministers to put into place what's now been popularly called NAFTA on steroids. So it would be NAFTA applied the same principles to all of this hemisphere. And, of course,
they want that sweatshop economy they've got in Mexico.
Yeah.
They want it hemisphere-wide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's the kind of thing, for instance, that there's been millions of Mexican farmers ruined under NAFTA, that now all this American genetically modified corn goes into Mexican markets. The campesinos, of course, stream into Mexico City, making it the largest city in the world, of about 25 million people, about 20 million of them living in abject poverty. And this would erode the capacity for any nation to protect its environment. I mean, workers' rights are down the drain.
Mm-hmm.
And really what's going on, Mike, I mean, the way I see it is, it's civil society, you know, the people of the hemisphere against these elites that are protected by this Praetorian Guard, this armed might of the state. And I was looking for another word, and I somehow nothing comes to my mind other than it is so repulsive to see these cops in this battle gear like they were about to fight an opposing army.
I heard a little bit of sound on NPR on the way to work tonight, the typical sound to intimidate protesters, the truncheons being knocked against the shields, that clack, 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 all in unison to make people who are there protesting this garbage fearful, frightening. Did you, I'm sure you saw and heard.
Well, I didn't see that. I mean, what I did see was, I mean, it's bad enough seeing all these guys in riot garb.
Right.
There were all these literally troops in battle garb with full body armor on. And we're talking, you know, thousands of steel workers, auto workers,
farmers.
Farmers. Yeah, I mean, you know, there's, we were over at something called the Convergence Center where all the younger people are. And Gaia love them. You know, they're pierced and tattooed and what have you, and they're really earnest, and they're the people that are going to staff the future generations of of people fighting for peace and social justice. But, you know, nobody's doing a damn thing, and it's not out of fear of these cops. I mean, we went to something called the Bayfront Mall, which is right near where things are going on. You had to go through, like, airport security, and inside the mall, there must have been 100 cops.
Oh, my God.
I mean, you know, all in various... And what gets lost, and what, of course, they're trying to lose, is this debate, which should take place so that there's a democratic debate about what's going to happen to our air and our environment and our working standards, our living standards. Instead, it's these elites behind closed doors. They're going to make decisions that are going to affect all of us, you know, throughout this hemisphere.
Yeah, Peter, if you can hold on. You know, these negotiations started when? In 1994. I think they've been going on for about 9 years now. And one of the objectives would be to institutionalize the privatization of, for example, Venezuela's natural resources. Venezuela, as you know, has got oil. And this is one of the reasons that the attempt to overthrow the president there, Hugo Chavez, occurred, when was it, within the past year.
Sure.
Because Chavez opposes this. We'll come right back. I want to continue the discussion here with Peter. Stay with us.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
The Mr. Rogers Parenting Book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
The Mike Molloy Show.
NBC Wall Street Journal poll. Bush is in the worst political trouble of his presidency, according to this new poll. Yeah, they have their work cut out for them. What's it going to be? Is it going to be a phony assassination attempt on Bush like they staged with Reagan? Is it going to be another attack on U.S. soil where another 3,000 Americans and foreigners are going to be killed? Is it going to be another attack on another country? What are they going to do since they can't govern? Huh? So look for another war. The guy is toast, and you know it as well as I do, Truth Seekers, and maybe, just maybe, some Americans are coming out of the ether. But don't count on it, because they'll go right back into the ether as soon as these thugs engineer an act of violence against this country, or another war, or something about Bush. Oh, Bush broke his leg today. He was running and he stumbled. Oh, sympathy, sympathy. You know what I'm talking about.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, your animalogical super information highway, helping you with your pets. Every Sunday night, we take your calls, help your pets, always give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like from It Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, on the IE America Radio Network.
Past the hour, we are talking with my former colleague and good friend Peter Werby, who is in Miami attending, I guess that's the right word, the Free Trade of the Americas Agreement
protests
that the attempt to turn all of this hemisphere into the kind of sweatshop economy that exists now in the maquiladoras in Mexico. Peter, I saw something today by Sarah Anderson, who is a fellow at the Institute for Policy Studies. She has followed these negotiations since they began. She says the current FTAA proposal is based on NAFTA. There's another large-scale experience out there, however, the European Union. The EU has spent hundreds of billions of dollars in grants to narrow gaps between rich and poor member countries and regions. To various degrees, all have made progress. These trends are in stark contrast to NAFTA. NAFTA's poor partner, Mexico, has seen its GDP per capita plummet as a percentage of the North American average, blah, 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 blah. Mentioning the European Union model is an excellent idea. This is something that the Bush crime family and the internationalists clustering around him, they'll want no part of.
Sure. Well, I'll tell you, there was a People's Tribunal today. And what it was judging the NAFTA and now the FTAA participants. And it was so moving. It was this bilingual, you know, Spanish and English immediately translated session. Mm-hmm. And an unemployed woman from Buenos Aires, a man, a trade unionist that took part in the forcing the president of Bolivia to resign. Mm-hmm. And I mean the humanity of these people, the open heart, what the Buddhists call the jewel heart of these people, as opposed to these greed heads, mm-hmm. these wealthy characters that are meeting, you know, just a little away from where they're being guarded by these cops, just itching to kick ass.
The contrast is I've experienced similar situations. I'm not there with you, but the contrast between the open-hearted people and the greed heads is astonishing. It's almost like two different races of people.
Mm-hmm. You know, Richard Trumka, who's the Secretary Treasurer of the
Teamsters
of the AFL.
That's right, AFL.
He spoke and he said, "Did you notice there's not a single person from the city that's come to welcome any of us? There's tens of thousands of people."
Mm-hmm.
And he said they're all, you know, at these dinners because what they want the trade offices of the FTAA to be centered here in Miami, where I am.
Right.
And so this is why they want to show that they can have this enormous display of force, no matter how unreasonable it is. Do you know, did you report this? Do you know where the money for all of this is coming from to finance the police presence and the clampdown here?
I haven't reported it, and I don't know.
It is coming from the Iraq appropriations bill. $8.5 million.
Are you kidding?
Well, now was part of this bill to pay everybody. I mean, there's cops from 44 different departments deployed in the city of Miami. Oh, I forgot to tell you too. All these buildings are just, you know, cordoned off with these 10-foot-high fences. I mean, it would take, for instance, if demonstrators actually had, the capacity, the will, or the interest in trashing things, it would take like probably 50,000 people dedicated to attacking these buildings. I mean, it's totally absurd, but what it does, it legitimizes this kind of state terror. And, I mean,
sure.
It also demonizes demonstrators. It detracts from the arguments about
FDA. There's so much that Kathy and I were talking about that today. In so many parts of the world, in European countries, especially in Britain right now, in here in the United States, in Central America, the calling out of the troops and the riot squads and the police in order to protect these financial greedy institutions from the people. It's outrageous. Peter, let me get you to hold on one more second. By the way, there is one finance minister who is not in attendance there, and of course that would be the Cuban finance minister. We'll come right back and talk with Peter in a second. Stay with us.
Every state in this union, us migrants has been. And we'll work in this fight, and we'll fight until we win.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Nature's recovery from the extinction of species is simply a matter of time, a long, long time. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Mass extinctions have wiped out most of the world's plant and animal species at least 5 times in Earth history. Scientists have used fossils and other evidence to figure out what life forms perished in these natural disasters, but Duke University paleontologist Ann Weil is more interested in the survivors. Weil has been poring over an enormous database that contains the Earth's known fossil record. She and her colleagues have been able to graph not only extinctions of species throughout history, but the births of new species as well, what are called origination and diversification events. The scientists have found an interesting pattern, and it holds true for extinction events on any scale, from the local to the global. In every case, origination and diversification lagged behind extinction by 10 million years.
So instead of looking at each individual extinction event, what we did was we tried to match these two curves. One for just a count or percentages of extinctions, and the other for counts or percentages of originations. And we found that those originations were lagging the extinction statistics by 10 million years.
Weil says this 10 million year period can be seen as the time that nature needs to recover from the loss of species. And she says the kind of ecosystem doesn't seem to alter the pattern. They all take about the same amount of time to heal after a disaster, no matter what kinds of ecological niches are left unfilled by extinctions. Weil says these findings have implications for conservation efforts today. Most experts agree that the world is in the midst of an extinction crisis right now, possibly losing one species per hour. The fossil record shows that nature will take millions of years to recover. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
I have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector!
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Ammunition against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour, we're still talking with Peter Werbe, former colleague here at IE America and a good friend who's in Miami for the Free Trade of the Americas demonstrations and protests. Peter, JB, Greg just sent me an email that the information clearinghouse that was set up down there by FTAA, IMC.org, the fair trade, the fair trade organization, it says here it was raided. About 30 police officers stormed into the information clearinghouse at 1:30 this afternoon, searching their location at the Bayside Mall with neither a permission nor a warrant.
Wow.
And it goes on and on. But this intimidation, you know, it's astonishing how global this has become and how so many civil liberties are being just chunked in the name of fighting terrorism, thanks to this pig in the White House, George Bush. But
yeah, I mean, that's amazing. Actually, I hadn't heard about that. I mean,
it just happened this afternoon.
Yeah, well, I mean, we were around in that area, and that's very typical. And as I said earlier, once you've been able to demonize the demonstrators, well, then virtually anything you do to them is vouchsafed in
sure.
the public eye because you're protecting them against these hordes of invading anarchists, even though they happen to be, you know, our you know, mm-hmm. fellow community members, union members, church members, and what have you.
Miami Herald had a good piece on the protest today, headlined "Ordinary People Join in Protest."
Yeah, I saw that. And I loved it.
Yeah, and it focuses on people who have come from all over the United States to participate in this, in addition to other people from North America, Central and South America. But what is, quickly if you can, the goal of the demonstrators, other than stopping this, is it to have a place at the table that was not given by the power when NAFTA was set up?
Actually, you anticipated the answer by the phrase you used, that, you know, to have fair trade and to, you know, as in front of it all. Is the benefit not of you know, corporate coffers, but of the ordinary people and their cultures. That's a nice word. Sometimes people don't like it, but I think it's very cool to be ordinary. I'd like to think of us as being ordinary. I mean, mm-hmm. you and I, as talk show hosts, aren't Rush Limbaughs,
mm-hmm.
and we're who he does think of himself as a special person connected
right.
to power rather than being a critic of power or a one who questions authority.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's their front man when he's, I guess, when he's not stoned.
Right.
hey, why do you think they call him Rush?
That's very true. That's very
right.
true.
There are people, as you said, about the model of the European Union, and there's lots of models being produced here and put forth here, and people have thoughtfully...
Not that the EU model is good, but it beats the hell out of NAFTA.
It does. I mean, the point being is that if it was something other than the elites, other than these either wealthy people or representatives of the wealthy and the corporations that sat down and said, well, look, I mean, how do we feed everybody? That's our first thing. How do we house everybody? How do we get rid of plagues like AIDS and on like that? And
mm-hmm.
then how does trade fit into that?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. How do
exactly.
we keep these indigenous cultures intact so that something that has sustained Mexican campesinos for, you know, half a millennia doesn't mm-hmm. get destroyed and they wind up to be garbage pickers in Mexico City? I mean, they don't care about that. Obviously.
No, obviously. How much longer is this thing in progress in Miami?
Well, tonight there was a wonderful concert with kind of movement troubadours. The AFL-CIO has financed this Tell Us the Truth tour, and you can go to tellusthetruth.org. British folk singer Billy Bragg, Steve Earle.
Mm-hmm.
You remember the Chambers Brothers?
Oh, sure.
Well, Lester Chambers is there, and they do this big rousing version of Time Has Come Today. And there were speeches and, you know, stuff like that. Tomorrow's the big demonstration.
Right. Tomorrow. Now, when does the conference end? The conference itself?
The conference itself. Gee, let me think. I think either Friday or Saturday. It's funny. You said that. I'm thinking of my schedule. I'm going back to Detroit.
Do you have bail money with you?
You know, I do.
You do. That's good.
And not that I'm going to do anything illegal, but, like, some of these cops that you were just walking where where you thought was okay,
mm-hmm.
and they would just glare at you, you know, and like walk menacingly towards you. One time, I mean, we couldn't even tell why. A bunch of us, you know, pedestrians, tourists, people, you know, trade unionists were, there are these guys on bikes. They have hundreds of cops on bikes. They just started, you know, walking towards us with their bikes yelling,
Why don't police understand that they are part of the lower, middle, and working class just like the rest of us, and that when they uphold or enforce the power of the state that only wants their bodies to protect them from the middle, from the working class, that they are working against their own best interests? Why is that, Peter?
I have no idea. Oh, I just, as you said that, I realized what they've distributed to a lot of the cops are these pellet guns. There are these, I think they must be probably air guns that have this magazine filled with red pellets about the size of a marble. And, you know, you may remember the old Napoleon quote, saying mm-hmm. the only thing you cannot do with bayonets is sit on them.
That's
in
right.
other words, when you arm people, whether it's depleted uranium shells in Iraq or, you know, pellet guns here in Miami, they're going to be used. And I know they're going to be used tomorrow. I know they're going to find some excuse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some 19-year-old is going to try to graffiti some, you know, Starbucks or something like that, and they're going to, you know, whip it out. Hey, but ultimately, you know, it's real easy to get mad at the cops on the beat, to see how menacing they are, how inappropriately mm-hmm. garbed they are. But they didn't volunteer to come there. They were sent there by the powerful people that run this world, that run this country, run this economy.
Well, but I'm thinking about Cheney's visit to upstate New York, Rochester, and Albany last week, and how the police handled the demonstrators up there. And I've gotten several reports on it where the police were even making kind of snide comments to the demonstrators about how much they thought Dick Cheney was an asshole. So there is a difference between cops garbed the way they are in Miami and police officers who were in Rochester and Buffalo, New York. Yes, maintaining order, but also sympathizing with the people who are there to exercise their freedoms that at least were written into the Constitution of this country. They're not allowed to be practiced anymore. All right, Peter, I'm going to...
Cut me loose.
Yeah, I'm going to cut you loose. Listen, will you call in tomorrow night?
Yeah, it'll be after the big march. See how many people they've frightened away.
Okay. All right, I want to hear from you tomorrow night. And are you by yourself or is Marilyn with you?
No, just I flew down here. Oh, well, I'm actually staying with my old producer, Jalene Jordan, and her husband.
Well, say hi to Jalene for us and watch your back.
All right. And
seriously.
Hello to all my radio friends as well.
All right, Peter. We'll talk to you tomorrow night.
Bye.
Thanks for checking in. God, that seems funny to hear Peter's voice working through radio stuff into my headphones. He and I talk at home, but...
He has a Sunday night program,
I know,
Night Call in Detroit.
Right, but we can't... We don't pick it up. Not here, but... All right. I appreciate the fact that Peter called in, and we're going to get him back tomorrow. Because, again, and this is my doing. It's me. Bringing up the Limbaugh thing, bringing up the topics that I've brought up tonight, they're just, you know, so many things that need to be talked about. Wayne is calling from Ackworth. I guess you're our bureau chief out there now?
Yeah, it looks that way.
Okay.
How you doing, buddy?
Ackworth, Georgia. I'm doing fine, Wayne.
All right, well, let me send a newsflash across the activist community, which that's exactly who listens to you.
All right.
In the next election, in the presidential election, if they will not and if they refuse to, you know, give us a verifiable trail, you know, and
the voting?
Correct.
Right.
We should use absentee ballots.
Yeah, that was talked about for the elections last November, and absentee ballots may be the way we have to go in order to maintain at least part of the integrity of our system. You're absolutely right.
Right. You send them in, you know, you send them back, you use a return receipt, you notarize the ballot, and that way they can't refuse it. Beyond that... the other thing, the commercial you're running about, you know, you want to lose weight?
Yeah.
You know, live in the Bush economy, lose your license, and ride a bicycle. I lost 30 pounds.
Hey, it only works to your benefit, Wayne.
What, no sweat. But beyond that, the other thing, too, you know, look, folks, don't give up.
No, that's true.
You know, look,
true.
As bad as and as down as I am, if you haven't heard me before, I'm Wayne from Ackworth. all right? I'm known in the radio circles, and I'm telling you right now, I've met people straight up, and I've seen this time and time again, and I've dealt with it to the point that when you bring the facts up, they want to get tight-lipped. They don't want to talk about this. When you bring the facts to them, they get stupid. They get quiet. All right?
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
And you know, I'll be honest with you. You know me. I talked to you before, Mike. I told you about this. I've been through two physical altercations. I've been thrown out of places. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Look, just remember, they can't win if you don't give. I mean, you know, they can't win if you don't give up. I mean, if you give up, then they've got you.
Oh, sure. Right? I absolutely agree.
Yeah, and as far as Limbaugh and Bob Bennett and Ann Coulter and all this stuff going on here, you know, look, the fact of the matter is the DNC and the people that back the DNC need to get up off their butts and stick some money in somebody's pocket and let's get it. Because what happened here in Atlanta, I called the Georgia Association of Broadcasters and I asked them, and I was fronting for an organization that was willing to spend money to buy broadcast spectrum on the AM signal.
Right.
And they said there wasn't anything available. Well, guess what just popped up?
What?
We just popped up a new signal here in Atlanta on 1190 AM, and guess who owns them and guess who bought them? And guess who started this right-wing crap, Laura Ingraham and the rest of this crap? You can call the phone number, there's nobody that'll answer.
Right.
No, the right-wing took it over, but the Georgia Association of Broadcasters said there was no broadcast spectrum that we could buy. So what's happening is when the syndicate's coming in to try to buy to make a liberal station or make a liberal, broadcast spectrum and buy into the system, they're getting in front of us and they're buying it so to the point that when we go in and try to buy it, they're going to charge us triple or quadruple what it's worth. They're going to blackmail us to where we can't get on the air.
I hear you. I hear you.
And as a matter of fact, to your listeners across the country, have you noticed any AM stations that have been dead frequency where they're bringing pre-recorded Laura Ingraham and that kind of crap up on a dead spectrum?
All right, Wayne, I got to move on.
All right, but you hear what I'm saying?
I do, loud and clear.
Look into it, will you?
I'll do it. All right,
please.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate you checking in. I want to play this one soundbite. This was we had a handful of them. We're not going to get to them tonight, but you got to hear this one. This is Bush discussing Iraq policy at Whitehall in the UK. He's over there in London. Now this is a place where the ceilings are painted by the old masters, and this jackass has a blue bunting or banner behind him that says, what does it say, Kathy? United Kingdom, as though people don't know where in the hell they are. He's talking about the three pillars of peace and freedom. See if you can figure out Bush's first pillar as he explains it. Is it his plan to retrain or retain aggression and evil? Talk about your Freudian slips. Listen to this.
The second pillar of peace and security in our world is the willingness of free nations. When the last resort arrives to retain aggression and evil by force.
Retain aggression and evil by force. Now, like Mark Crispin Miller has said in his book, The Bush Dyslexic, the only time this jackass speaks the truth is when he's talking about death and destruction. That's the only time he can articulately put together a sentence, of course, based on somebody else's words, somebody else's writing. But there he is, and I want to play it again. Kathy, if you'll cue it up and play it again. Listen to him. He stumbles for a second, but he's talking about retaining aggression and evil.
The second pillar of peace and security in our world is the willingness of free nations. When the last resort arrives.
What does that mean?
To retain aggression and evil by force.
This guy is one of the most destructive individuals, I think, ever to have ascended to this kind of power. He literally has more power than Joe Stalin or Adolf Hitler or Mao Zedong ever had. And I think he is of the same cloth. He is an evil, 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 dangerous man. Nancy's calling from East Tennessee. Hey, Nancy.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
Doing fine.
Hey, I know what you're going through with those implants. I had them back in 86.
Well, they haven't started the implants yet. They're just doing all the surgery necessary to get my mouth
ready. Oh,
yeah,
it takes a while before you actually get there. It's like
God.
A year process.
Yeah, it's pretty nasty.
But anyway, what I called about tonight was this rush thing.
Uh-huh.
You know, I get just really upset every time I hear somebody say that he, you know, that it's prescription drugs. That kind of implies he had a prescription.
Yeah, it's illegal.
You know,
drugs,
I mean, why aren't they, you know, I would like to see everyone when they talk about it now. It's black market pharmaceuticals.
That's right.
And then the other thing that I have been kind of wondering about, I mean, from what I know, what we've heard is that, you know, the obviously the maid went and you know, gave him up, and they did surveillance, and they have him on audio tape.
Oh, yeah, they've got him dead to rights. Let me put you on hold a second. I'll come back. Nancy, we got to take a quick break here.
It's cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Ugh. You'll sleep like a...
Okay, up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red 90?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your throat is all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, and you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, talks to the animals. You don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
What does most political talk radio sound like?
Good morning and welcome to my show. I'm fine, thanks for asking.
A little self-centered?
We're not going to take any calls right now because I want to talk. Remember, the show was at its best when it's more me and less of you.
Not very listener-friendly.
We're talking about all the progress we've made in Iraq. Tom and Seattle, you're on the air. Make it quick.
Yeah, I don't really agree with what you said about...
And I don't agree with you calling my show. Let's get it clear, people. If you don't agree with me, then you must be a communist.
A little one-sided?
The fact is that the Dixie Chicks should be sent to Iraq to live in a okay, with Osama. Jeff in California, you're on the air. Make it quick.
I have a comment on how the U.S. has completely forgotten about Osama bin Laden.
No, you don't have a comment, Jeff. But what you do have is the privilege to listen to my show. And you're abusing it. And I am offended.
All around bad radio.
Says you.
But there is an alternative.
What?
You can get the best in progressive talk radio on the only progressive talk radio network there is, IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to IEAmericaRadio.com.
You'll be back.
No, they won't.
Yes, they will.
Get out of here.
Don't touch me.
This is Mike Malloy with the IE America Radio Network. Want to know more about our talk shows and personalities but don't know where to look? Do you want to find out what guests are scheduled or what topics we'll be discussing on our programs? Would you like to participate in live chat or vote in interactive polls? All this and more is available at the IE America Radio website. Bookmark it, stop surfing, and get active. Visit www.ieamericaradio.com today.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
The man conservatives love to hate. It's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. We are flat running out of time here. Okay, Nancy, put a cap on it for me.
Okay, what I was just going to say is that we know all of these things, right?
Yes.
And the authorities know all of these things. And so you have to wonder why Mr. Limbaugh wasn't picked up from his drug rehab by the authorities with an arrest warrant.
Right.
And you have to wonder why he still has that mansion in Florida mm-hmm. and all of his, you know, big fancy cars. Because if you think about all of the, you know, parents and grandparents that have lost their property because their kids might have been doing something they didn't know about, because people have been denied housing are thrown out of public mm-hmm. housing and things like, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it just is so, so irritating to me that this man is actually going to get away with it, I think, you know.
Well, he may get away with the drug stuff, but the money laundering, which apparently occurred in New York, and let's not forget that Elliot Spitzer.
Oh, yeah, I love that man.
The attorney general of the state of New York is a Democrat and wants to run for Pataki's seat to be governor, and it would be a great feather in his cap to butcher.
Boy, wouldn't it.
To butcher the pig man.
One other thing, real quick.
Sure.
I had CNN on today when Bush and the Queen.
Right.
That is so bizarre, seeing that woman with those spectacles and that diamond tiara. But anyway, she was rattling on, you know. And my only thought was, the Bushies know what Charles did.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, sure. Well, we'll have some sound from that, I hope, tomorrow. Hey, thanks, Nancy.
It was hilarious.
Thank you.
Well, good luck on your mouth.
All right. Appreciate you checking in. You have a nice evening. Tom is our Anchorage, Alaska Bureau Chief. And, Tom, we've got about a minute left. I'm sorry to do it to you. I know you've been holding on forever.
Oh, no problem, Mike. Thanks a lot. Listen, the Alaska Supreme Court up here said to its legislature the same thing that Massachusetts Supreme Court said.
When? Today?
No, a couple weeks ago it said, okay, legislators, please come up with a compelling argument, keyword being compelling, as to why it would be mm-hmm. in the state's best interest to deny gay people the right to marry.
Then the law is illegal.
The difference between Alaska and Massachusetts is the Alaska Supreme Court did not give the legislature a deadline,
mm-hmm.
so it hangs in limbo.
Hey, Tom, I want to hear about this, but we're out of time. Can you call me tomorrow?
Oh, no problem.
Okay, thanks, Tom.
Okay.
All right, sir. I appreciate your call. And for the rest of you who are holding on, I'm sorry we didn't get to you. We just flat ran out of time tonight. Program producer in Atlanta by Catherine Bay, Robin Bittman announces. Engineered in Detroit by Charlotte Jones. Our webmaster is Mark Marshall. That's at MikeMalloy.com. If you haven't been there, why not? Jim in Arkansas is our music bureau chief. I'll see you tomorrow night. I hope. I really hope. Take care.